Movie Squad is sponsored by Luna Palace Cinemas, WA's premier independent cinemas, bringing the best film content and cinematic events to Perth. Come and enjoy the Luna Palace experience.
Toast.
Toast.
Right here. Right now. The most important thing in life will always be the
Movie Squad.
Salute me, familia.
Welcome to the Movie Squad podcast. My name is Tristan Fidler.
And I'm Lucy Rutherford.
And this is a podcast version of your weekly edition of Movie Chat, broadcasting on RTRFM 92.1, Friday mornings, 7:30 a.m., with breakfast host Pam Boland. And on the Movie Squad podcast, we talk about streaming releases, we talk about cinema releases. And this is, I think, a good episode in that we're talking about two new dramas out in cinemas at the time of recording. But I think, you know, it's good to, you know, like last week we talked about, and we talk a little bit more about The Idea of You and streaming rom-coms and the type of thing you can just like throw on in the background. But it's always good to get back to dramas that might move you and connect, with deeper things. You've seen both the movies, Lucy, but you talk in the later part of the episode about a new Japanese film.
Yes. So this was Monster from director Hirokazu Koreeda, who is a director I absolutely love, very prolific director. And Monster is a really interesting film that's sort of told in three parts and is told over different perspectives. And so you really see the story unfold in a really interesting way because of that.
Yes, and there's different themes in Monster, and they connect with some of the themes with the film that we've both seen that I lead the conversation with, which is Housekeeping for Beginners, a new film from Macedonian filmmaker Goran Stolveski, and one that is about a sort of a chaotic household, a makeshift family unit where lesbian partner to a recently deceased person agrees to take to adopt their children, but has to, you know, to legally make that happen, get married to her gay roommate. Now that sounds like, you know, like the setup for a farce, but it's definitely a more kind of realistic, gritty, but also funny film, and that's Housekeeping for Beginners. And we'll hear a little bit from the trailer now.
Дори я не можем да те гледам. Поради тебе гей станав, да знаеш.
Every Friday here on Brekkie, we do take some time out of the day for the cinematic arts. We look into the brains of the blockbuster babes. This morning, those babes are Lucy Rutherford and Tristan Fidler. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I love the little gentle good morning. So that was quite nice. It was very polite. It was lovely. Lucy, how are you this morning? We haven't caught up with you in a few weeks.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm excited because I realised I hadn't actually been on Movie Score with Tristan before. I'd only been with Simon and Cecilia that one time.
Oh,
so I'm
goodness.
Happy to complete the set now.
Okay. Yeah, like a collector's edition.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you got stamps at home?
Oh, I should, yeah. That's a good idea.
I think we should do that. Like a little passport?
Yeah.
I've been with everyone, so so that's great. My passport is stamped. This is a terrible analogy. Anyway, Tristan, how are you this morning?
Yeah, good. As Lucy has said, it's our first time reviewing films together, so it's great to meet after listening to you on air with Cecilia and Simon. And to, you know, talk about movies. But, like, we had a lot of fun last week talking about a film that went straight to Amazon Prime. But that's because it's an Amazon Prime film, The Idea of You. Lucy, did you see The Idea of You?
I did see The Idea of You.
Yeah.
Yes.
What did you think?
Look, I do enjoy catching up on some of the rom-coms that come out on streaming sort of monthly, it feels, right now. Look, I had one bugbear with it. when that character goes on the Graham Norton show in the movie, which the main character, one of them does.
I saw you talk about
and
this.
There's no one on the couch. Yeah. And the whole point of that show is that everyone is on the couch at the same time.
Especially when the musician plays.
Exactly.
You know, the musician plays at the end of the show or like towards the end, and then they join the rest of the couch. Mm. So I agree. I did have that gripe also. It was really fun. A lot of the, so we received a lot of messages after the show last week. There was lots of really lovely sort of enjoyment of our dislike of that film. I think people love to hear other people, you know, with good humour, take things down.
Yes. And, you know, it's like, it's perfectly, like, you know, for a streaming rom-com, it is, like, elevated by the fact that Anne Hathaway is giving a lot to the performance. But, yeah, it was funny. I did notice that as well. I'm not a huge, like, you know, weekly watcher of Graham Norton, but I was just like, you know, everyone knows that when the musician's on, they're not the first guest. They have to be a superstar rather than a Harry Styles clone doing his serious acoustic numbers on the. So yeah, but it was so it's always fun to. But you know, they got Graham Norton. He was there. It wasn't like they did a facsimile of the Graham Norton show.
No, but that's just, I kind of made it worse. I was like, Graham, don't get down there. What are you doing? Well, this week we're talking about slightly better movies. I'm excited to hear what you think about these few. Maybe there's some hate in there, but it doesn't feel like there's going to be. We're going to kick off with Housekeeping for Beginners. Tristan, talk to me about this movie.
Yes, this is a new film from director-writer Goran Stolvesky, who is a Macedonian-Australian filmmaker. And this comes quite soon after two films he released across 2022, neither of which I've seen, unfortunately, but I've heard a lot about. There was a folk horror film he did called You Won't Be Alone that had Nomi Rapace, and then an Australian queer romance called Of an Age, which I've heard a lot of good things about but did not catch up with. But after seeing Housekeeping for Beginners, I'm very keen to. Are you familiar with either of these two films?
I've definitely been aware of an Age and also felt the same way. Have wanted to watch it. It's got, for anyone playing along at home, it's got Sammy from Dance Academy in it, and that's part of the reason why I would like to watch it. There's some folks that will get that, some folks that won't. But I do really want to watch it. I love a queer Australian romance, you know. I really liked Holding the Man, and that sort of held that space for me for a while. And this looks like a really nice coming-of-age sort of queer romance story. I definitely would like to dip into it, have been aware of it, but haven't watched it yet.
How about you, Lissy?
Yeah, I did see Of an Age last year. I really enjoyed that one. And, yeah, Sammy was excellent. Dance Academy all the way. Yeah, no, it was really good. So, yeah, it was really interesting how quickly that this film came out straight after. I was like, wow, so efficient.
Yes, yeah. I mean, yeah, so that's and hopefully, I mean, this is not just, like, burning brightly at the start of his filmmaking career, and that you know, there might, you know, it doesn't have to be an accelerated pace of output, but it's great to see. And then, yeah, it is, I mean, this is a drama with queer themes following on from Of an Age, but this, as opposed to Of an Age, which was set in Australia, this is set in North Macedonia. And so there's a chaotic energy to this film. This film is shot in the kind of 4:3 framing, or the kind of it's a very kind of square sort of frame, and it's shot kind of handheld, and you kind of get brought into this chaotic household. And this is kind of through one character, a supporting character, Ali, played by Samson Selim, who is gay and Romani, and he wakes up after a hookup with an older guy in his 30s, Tony, played by Vladimir Tintor. And he sort of wakes up to this house and then realizes that, you know, he's in the bedroom, he comes out to the kitchen, and then the understanding that this house is filled with people. And kind of are taking his journey a little bit, kind of understanding the connections between everyone, in that Tony is renting a room from Dita, Anna Maria Marasinka, who is a social worker and in a relationship with a tough Romani woman called Suada, played by Alina Serban. So they're a lesbian couple, and Suada has two daughters from a different relationship, including a young and precocious child called Mia and a rebellious teenager called Vanessa. But then there's also three other young girls, or, you know, teenagers, young women, who are all kind of queer, and then this trio of girls who are like drinking, smoking, kind of partying. It's a bit of a collection of misfits because they are people who have kind of run away from home or kind of been away from their household and have found sanctuary or just kind of been adopted into this house. So yeah, chaotic is the word here, but we start to understand that there's something quite serious going on as well, that Suada has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. One of the first scenes is her kind of getting this news from a very kind of blasé male doctor who she kind of like picks a fight with because she's so angered at his kind of like just disregard. But, you know, she's aware that there's no real kind of, solution or that, you know, she will die. And so she asks her partner, Dieter, to promise to be a mother to her daughters, even though her relationship to her partner's children is quite distant. She's a very quiet present in this kind of very yelly, vibrant household. So yeah, after this tragic death, we kind of see how the society that it's depicting in North Macedonia, that there's legal prejudice against gay marriage and gay adoption, and so there's this idea of kind of basically having a legal marriage between Dieter, who's a lesbian, and Tony, who's a gay man, to adopt these two children and have them legally be under their care. And then also they, as opposed to some of the other characters who are Romani, they are kind of white and so there's a clear understanding that there is like privilege and that this would help them in the kind of social climate of what's been depicted. So it's a very interesting movie in that, like, I didn't know a lot about North Macedonian culture, and you're kind of getting sort of, you're not really being kind of given a clear kind of like diagram or kind of dictionary understanding. Like, you sort of pick things up as you're watching, but out of this is a real story of a kind of a found family coming together to kind of help one another. And it's really, I found it quite moving by the end, how these characters start to realize that this kind of chaotic house that they have together is actually one with a lot of warmth and understanding. And when you start to see the outside areas or outside the house, including Dieter's like workplace or the kind of Romani village that some of the characters come from, what they're getting from this from being together as this makeshift family is a lot more than what we might see at the start. So I thought the performances were really amazing, and it's not shy about the kind of darker things, the sadder things, but there's also a sense of kind of warmth and kind of frivolity. There's a lot of scenes with characters like singing and dancing to these kind of Macedonian songs in the movie. So yeah, I really liked Housekeeping for Beginners, which is out in cinemas now. Now, Lucy, I know you haven't seen this, but have you seen the kind of like, or have you seen it?
I did actually.
Oh, great. Sorry, I wasn't sure about that. Well, what did you think of it then? I've been talking for so long now.
I really loved the way it depicted like the found family, as you were saying. Like, I thought the relationships between the characters were just so beautiful, and it really did represent how this house is such a safe space for these people. And you do almost, even when, you know, as you say, Dieter's just going to work, it almost becomes this little bit of a danger when she's leaving because she's having to hide herself so much. And yeah, I really love that. And a really interesting thing I read is that apparently the two of the main actors didn't actually speak the language. And so they had to learn their lines phonetically. And that's just astonishing considering the performances that they were giving that were so emotional and, you know, interesting.
Wow. Yeah. And there's a lot of like friction between Dieter and the older daughter, who is quite rebellious, wants to leave the house. But all these characters are also going through grief through the loss of this figure in the house. But there's a lot of tension there, and there are moments where she, like, you know, she threatens to call the cops to do a house, you know, that she's being kidnapped by this this family, and they all have to pretend to be this kind of heterosexual couple when the police arrive. So there's a lot of kind of like moments of tension, but also kind of humor throughout this, in that they have to just kind of keep this this charade up. But I'm glad that you saw it, Lucy, and I'm glad that you felt the same thing about it. Now, Pam, I know you haven't seen this, but does this sound like something that you would like to see?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think especially given the lead up to Ida Hobbit, which we're hanging out with next week, and it's a great movie that I think I'd love to participate in, understanding the representation or the sort of experience of like queer people in other cultures that aren't Australia. I think that's always an interesting thing to get a window into in a particular way. So this is definitely something that's up my alley. I'm really keen to have a watch of it. But it's out in cinemas now, is that right?
Yes, and it's like there's no real big stars, you would say. Like the actor who plays Anna Maria Ma, who plays Dieter, might be known for some other kind of European or international films. But so yeah, it is taking a chance. But I went to a preview screening, and you know, I was talking to one of the Luna staff members who was like interviewing people afterwards, and a lot of people just like saying that they really loved the film, even though it was chaotic, even though they did feel a little bit claustrophobic, because you do spend a lot of time in this house, which is just kind of like so rambunctious and so. But that's for me a lot of where the humor came from, and the enjoyment was just like the back and forth, the kind of the chorus of these three teenage girls who are just always like sniping or adding to everything. Like it just so. Yeah, I really appreciated it. So would you recommend it as well, Lucy?
Definitely, yes. Yeah, I thought it was a really beautiful film.
Beautiful. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. We'll have to catch it. It's out in cinemas now. Housekeeping for beginners. Oh, what a gorgeous way to kick off Movie Squad today.
Look it! Yeah, I'm in a...
こっちだって子供のこと心配してきてるんだし、
この先生に叩かれて息子は怪我したんです。
誤解を招く点があったかと思われます。
何も誤解してないんですよ。
麦野湊くんは星川よりって子をいじめてるんです。
開けてください。
You're hearing the sounds of Ryuichi Sakamoto. It's a track from the Monster soundtrack, and we're going to be talking about Monster as our next movie here on Movie Squad. But before we get to that, there's another way that you can engage and enjoy a bit of Ryuichi Sakamoto this weekend. Tristan, you're going to talk to us about something that you can do this weekend, right? A screening that we can get to?
Yeah, just to mention it, this was a film that played a couple of times at the Perth Festival, but there's a one-off screening that Luna are doing for Ryuichi Sakamoto's Opus, which is on Sunday, the 12th of May, I think in the afternoon. So definitely check the listings on the Luna website. But I've not seen this film, but I'm very keen to, in that it's basically Ryuichi Sakamoto passed away sadly last year due to cancer, and it's a concert film of him performing piano, some of his music, in a sense kind of like recording one of his final performances.
Wow.
So definitely one to seek out, because I know that a lot of RTR presenters are fans, and I know that a lot of listeners are fans as well. And we're going to talk about Monster in a moment, but this was the last score that he did for a film. He's well known for a lot of music that he's done, but also for being a composer for film. So yeah, it's also kind of a nice tie in that this is, you know, this film that we're going to talk about in a moment is his last score as well.
Lucy, you're going to get us across Monster and talk to us a little bit about this film that he's scored, but less about the music and more about the film itself. Talk to us about Monster.
Yes, so Monster, I saw this back when it was playing at Perth Festival. It's from director Hirokazu Koreeda, who is another very prolific filmmaker. He kind of has a film out every year. He's a Japanese filmmaker. You might know him from Shoplifters, which was quite a big film of his in the last few years, and also Broker as well, which was... interestingly a Korean language film, and he's also made a French language film as well. So he really likes to branch out and does some really interesting stuff. But Monster is, it starts off from the point of view of a widowed mother, Sayori, played by Sakura Ando, and her son, Minato, played by Soya Kurokawa. And she's noticed that her son seems really quite troubled and withdrawn. He's kind of doing strange things like cutting off his hair and asking sort of weird questions about what would happen if the brain of a pig was transplanted into a human body. And so she's quite worried about him. And she sort of discovers that she believes that his teacher at school has been bullying him. So she ends up going to the school and trying to sort of address the situation and comes up with against a group of the teachers and the principal who just kind of dismiss it in a really strange way. And then the film actually switches point of view to the teacher. And so then you're suddenly seeing kind of the same, some of the same, you know, scenes and then some new ones from this whole completely different perspective and actually seeing, oh, well, is the teacher actually bullying him or is something else going on? And the film actually does this a third time as well. So there is a third act where you are then seeing the same scenes again from the point of view of the son Minato and his friend who is kind of like a bullied boy in the class. So it's a really interestingly structured film in that way because you just see the, you know, these different perspectives and you, it gives you this understanding of how we often don't know that the what the people around us are seeing and thinking and feeling, and we can just can totally get the wrong, you know, end of the stick basically just from not really understanding. And I'm a big fan of Kureda. I think he's probably one of my favorite directors. I just, every film I see of his, I just find the way he views the world and human beings in such a compassionate and an interesting and delicate way. And this is the same with this film. I just left it feeling sort of so just uplifted, even though they're not always about the happiest topics or, you know, the characters often going through very stressful times in their lives, but he just has so much compassion and interest in human beings, which I really, really love. Yeah, what did you think of it, Tristan?
Yeah, like I haven't seen, you know, he is prolific. I've seen the French language film he did, which had Catherine Deneuve and Ethan Hawke and Julia Binoche, but I really loved Shoplifters when I saw that at Perth Festival. I was just really like crying at the end of it, and that was about a kind of makeshift family as well, a kind of group of people who are sort of a bit homeless or sort of like living in the kind of lower rung of society, but shoplifting and kind of doing like lots of scams, but you know, have, you know, lots of love and warmth through this kind of makeshift family that they brought together. And this film, I wasn't quite sure what the story was, and I think that's part of the experience as well that you've described, is that you see the film in different perspectives and you start to understand what's going on. That moment you talk about of the mother, the actress also being in Shoplifters, kind of being in the school meeting with these teachers and sort of not understanding what's going on, what's happening, and you feel that way. You're just like, what, why aren't they kind of, you know, what's going on here? And then you start to understand, and you know, it's one of those hard films to also talk about a little bit, in that the full understanding of what the film is about and the themes really come like together at the end. And yes. So there's a bit of patience that you need here, and I was very moved by the film and thought it was the performances are fantastic, and just the way that the structure unfolded. And the way that Monster, which is, you know, an unusual name for this kind of film, not to be confused with the Charlize Theron film Monster. And there's no actual, you know, literal monster, but, you know, this word is used many times by people describing themselves, by people describing other people. And it's a really interesting idea of, like, understanding what does being a monster mean in this situation.
Yeah.
It's... Like, I didn't catch it at Perth Festival, where it screened earlier in the year, but it's now out in cinemas on a wider national release. And I would definitely, you know, echo your recommendation and say that it's a very, like a delicate movie in a way. It's sort of, it always kind of flirts with being, like, very tragic. You're kind of waiting for something really, and terrible things to happen, but you just kind of, but, like, where it goes is yeah, quite beautiful, I think, in the end. Definitely. So, Pam, I know you haven't seen Monster. I don't know if you've seen any of this filmmaker's previous work.
I don't think I have, but it sounds like it might be something that I'm interested in. I love those kind of compassionate takes on life, and it kind of reinstills your faith in humanity and sort of reminds you that other people have lives and networks beyond you. And there's that, I don't know what that terrifyingly, 2014 Tumblr core word is, but there's that word that's, when you have that sudden realization that everyone around you also has a network and a life and knows so many people, when you're walking along in the world and you sort of have that very strange awareness of everybody else's connectedness. And I feel like this film might tap into that. And that's a feeling that I am always surprised by, but love. And I love the idea of, a movie explaining to you or sort of being like, okay, I know that you want to understand what's going on here. Let me show you from a different perspective and taking a bit of a different narrative route that way. It keeps a movie that sometimes slice of life movies can feel slow or tragic or heartbreaking in a way. And this feels quite novel to that sort of arc or that sort of presentation of someone's life. So I really like it. It sounds really exciting. I reckon I'll go see it. I think this is a great one. Great recommendations, Lucy. What are we up to for the rest of the weekend? It's a rainy weekend, which in my eyes is perfect for movie watching, for cozying up at home, unless you really love the rain and you just want to be outside. Tristan, what's on the cards for you this weekend movie watching wise?
Well, you'll get to hear about it next week because for Mother's Day, I believe we're seeing Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. So
okay. That's
out in cinemas this week, but you'll get the review next week. I don't know if you've seen it, Lucy.
I have not, no.
Are you interested in the ape movies?
Look, I think I've only seen the very, the original one when I was probably a child. So I have a lot of catching up to do, I feel.
Oh, yes, because there's like the, six or seven, movies from the 60s and 70s. And then there's the recent kind of trilogy. And some of these titles are getting a bit like, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I think when you have of the twice in us, we've got to work that out,
That sounds like a very Mother's Day appropriate, Tristan.
Yes.
Lucy, what are you up to this weekend in your watching habits?
Yes, you know what? I haven't planned out what I am watching yet. I have been, Mother's Day has been the focus at the moment. there is a film called Mother's Day. Maybe I should watch that.
Yeah.
I've heard it's not great, but who knows?
Kate could Hudson be fun. Off the top of my head, but,
probably.
It was fine. I forgot about it immediately after I watched it.
What about you, Pam? What are you going to be watching this weekend?
I don't know. I feel like I'm probably going to engage in some of my mother's favourite films, so we're probably going to be watching something with Meryl Streep in it, maybe something with Judi Dench. We might be leaning into Father of the Bride 2. We did one the other weekend, if you play along at home. But I think I'll be trying to get to the movies. I'd love to see Monster. I think it's the perfect weekend for being in the cinema if it's raining. So there's lots of stuff on. If you're a fan of Ryuichi Sakamoto, remember you can catch that screening at Luna. That's a great thing to go and see while it's raining, and a really lovely way to check in on someone that's passed away recently if you love their work. Thank you so much for coming in and giving us movie reviews and talking about movies. The Blockbuster Babes, as always, in perfect form. Lucy and Tristan for another great week of Movie Squad. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. So there you have it, another great pair of reviews from Movie Squad. And it's great to have you join the squad once again, Lucy, and to be talking with you as well, because I've been listening to your reviews previous to this. And it's great that it all kind of like came together, that we talking about a film that you had strong feelings for, and one that like I had strong feelings for as well. I was kind of like feeling myself get emotional as I was talking about it.
Yeah, for sure.
You had seen this earlier in the year. Mm. Like, did it feel like one of those films that you were kind of like had to think back on? Because it is a kind of interesting structure, or did everything quite remain?
Yeah, it actually was quite memorable. And when I was sort of reading over the summary just to sort of get it back in my head, I was like, oh no, I do really remember the visuals of it as well. I think that's not something I talked about in the main part of the podcast, but the way that Kureida does films, his movies. They're not, you know, the Wes Anderson style of aesthetic, but they are still really beautiful in a very visual way. And he picks out things that are very ordinary or in the mundane, but knows how, you know, sort of knows that they are beautiful and is able to show, without changing anything, able to show that they, you know, there is beauty in the mundanity and in the everyday. And in terms of the story, it really has stuck with me, I think, because it is the idea of different perspectives and everyone having a real different understanding of the same events. I have always found very, very fascinating. And even in, you know, my everyday, just talking to friends and family and going, wow, that person remembers that event so differently from the way I do. And yeah, it's so interesting.
Yeah. And it's like, it doesn't feel like it's not trying to be like, gotcha, or just like you watch one moment and then later on you get more information, and obviously that's withholding things from the audience and making you kind of like wait for a bit. But I think it does it in a really lovely way, in that, you know, there's a sense that even if everyone had the information, that sometimes it's about the communication, and particularly the world of the adults and the world of the children, it's so hard to kind of have that be an open communication. Like the moment that struck me, which is like a small moment, is that when we get the teacher's perspective, and we kind of like see that he's like nervous about teaching, about kind of going into, and he's like talking to his girlfriend about it at night, and his girlfriend is just like, you know, don't get so serious, you know, you got to make a joke, just be like, you know, treat it, you know, don't treat it so seriously like that. And which is like, that sounds like good advice. It's a good way of kind of being open and, friendly to the students. And then later on, we see him just kind of like make an offhand remark about, you know, being a man, you know, and, you know, you understand that from his perspective, that's just like, you know, an offhand kind of comment. But later on, we understand that, you know, to say that, or, you know, what the kid or the people that he's said that to take it in a whole different way.
Yeah.
And so it's really, you know, there's all these layers to it. And I feel like it's one of those films that, when I watch it again, you know, knowing the full picture, you know, it'll be more kind of like even more, I don't know, gratifying, or kind of like it will just understand it more.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure.
And so you've, like, I haven't seen a lot of Kore-eda's films. Like, the one that I think was a breakout film to him, I've heard a lot about, is a film called Afterlife, which came out in 1998. But I've not seen that. I've only seen some of the recent films that have come through, like with the Perth Festival. Like, I think maybe Shoplifters was the first film I've seen of his. But I haven't seen Broker. Did you see Broker?
I did see Broker. I think it was last year or the year before at the Perth Festival. And absolutely loved it. It was, again, one of my favourite films of the year that I saw it in.
Yes.
So fascinating that he decided to make a Korean language film, which it is. It's a really interesting one. It's actually, on SBS On Demand at the moment. So people can go watch it for sure. It's sort of about adoption and about this sort of two men who in Korea they seem to have a place you can sort of put children in who you want them to be adopted, and they kind of take those children and try and adopt them in their own way, but not in like an evil way. They genuinely believe they're giving these children like a better life through this sort of private adoption sort of setup that they've created. And it is actually sort of a found family story as well, which it just is really beautiful. And Kore-eda he's known for having children in his films. Most of his films have a child actor in them, and he just has a really great way of getting performances out of children as well. Apparently, he kind of feeds them the lines rather than making them learn it, and he really wants it to be really spontaneous. And I want to go through his back catalogue and really deep dive into everything he's got, because they're just so interesting.
Yeah, and Broker has Song Kang-ho, who's a Korean actor who people would know from, Parasite and lots of other films. But that was definitely one that I should catch up with. And I've seen The Truth, which is the French film. So I think when I saw it, I knew that it was a director of note, an Asian director of note, stepping into this kind of like maybe his first English language, or not even English language, because it's there is a little bit, because Ethan Hawke is playing an American, but it is a kind of interesting film about a French actress, Catherine Deneuve, and there's lots of kind of like metatextual qualities in that she's not playing herself, but it's the kind of sense of of that it's kind of connected to her place in French cinema and in the world cinema. I thought that was an interesting film. I liked it. I don't think it sort of got a mixed reaction. Mm-hmm. I think maybe people were more used to his previous work. Definitely, you mentioned SBS On Demand. I know that's a place where you can see some of his past films. One film I did catch up of his is a film called After the Storm, which I think showed at Perth Festival in that year of 2016. But I really like that one as well. And that there's a similar sense of, you know, I think he's interested in family dynamics. Mm-hmm. And that one is called After the Storm, in that there's this kind of moment where this family that's been kind of a little bit splintered or fractured, they have to stay with each other, but due to a storm that's raging one night, and that kind of, you know, is a catharsis for all these things to come out. And there's a similar kind of thing in Monster, in that there is this kind of there's a few sort of incidents that starts off with a fire that engulfs a building, and then later on there is this storm that kind of unites all the sort of different perspectives. So there's something quite elemental and cathartic about his films as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so, definitely a filmmaker that I'm keen to see more of, and definitely, would still echo the recommendations for Monster. Is there any other, you know, like, you? It's great to have you be involved in Movie Squad, but is there any other way that people can, see any of your reviews or...
Yes, well, I'm mainly on Letterboxd, to be fair. Yeah. Lucy Rutherford on Letterboxd, and I do have a very small Instagram account that I don't use enough at all.
Sure,
I really
sure.
should, so, yeah.
Do you, like, I'm sure, like, with Letterboxd, like, that's something that I use a lot, but, I don't know, for, you know, maybe non-movie people, it might be like another social media thing, but, like, you know, what to you are the sort of the positives of kind of using that site?
I love Letterboxd mainly because I forget things so easily. So it helps me remember what I've seen, which is incredible, and remember what I thought about the movie as well.
Yeah.
But I love that it's a lot of freedom on there to write whatever kind of review you want. There are people who will go all out and really write a proper, like, long, in-depth, interesting review, and I love reading those. But then there will be people who write a one sentence, just a funny little quip, and I love them just as much. So I think it's the variety. Like, you really, if you want to know what a film is like from a real wide perspective, then I think Letterboxd is a really great place to go.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, it's a resource for just, like, you know, to if you want to just, like, track what you've been watching or get a sense of, like, you know, and it's funny, like, I always, you know, time is such a slippery thing. I always just think, oh, I just joined the Letterboxd recently, and then I look back and go, oh, no, there's reviews from, like, 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God, time is passing so quickly. But, you know, it could help with what you thought of a movie at a particular time. But I do find it as a good resource as well to kind of find out about films that I'd never heard of before, lists that people put together, and sometimes it kind of... you know, and I've had the recent experience, like, I went to one of the Lunar Monday Doubles recently, which was showing The Thing and Videodrome. And then, like, if you look at the review date for a particular film, you can just kind of see, you know, you'll see some reactions from people who went to the same screening as you, and that you don't know who they are. But it's just fun to kind of see, oh, like, this is... You can get a bit more of that post-film discussion by seeing people's different reactions to the film as well.
Yeah.
So there you go. Letterboxd, and obviously they're really kind of ramping up, I think, over the past 2 years, their social media presence with the whole, what are the last 4 films that you've watched, and interviewing celebrities on the red carpet about their top 4 films, including the cast of The Idea of You, which is one that I saw before I saw the film and was kind of marveling at, because each of the actors involved seem to, it's just always funny when you see how people kind of answer and what they do for those top 4 films as well.
Definitely.
Thank you so much, Lucy. It's been great to talk about movies, and we'll catch you next time. And thank you all for listening on Movie Squad, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Squad is sponsored by Lunar Palace Cinemas, WA's premier independent cinemas, bringing the best film content and cinematic events to Perth. Come and enjoy the Lunar Palace experience.